I welcome you to another episode of Restored Life Podcast with Stanley. Here we learn how to grow our knowledge of God's Word and to rest in His goodness. On this platform, we will share how you can act on the Word of God, walk in your inheritance, and enjoy all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. Still on the subject of grace versus legalism. You recall the last time we looked at the older brother to the prodigal son and how his response to the return of his younger brother looks very much similar to what happens in our world today, defining legalism and differentiating it from grace. And today I'll go on the subject of grace. You know, grace is not a free pass that allows for objectionable living under the guise of Christ. On the contrary, grace, that unlimited favor of God, has a high standard. And according to Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12, it teaches and motivates us to live right. When you have received grace, the very motivation for sin is devoured, is destroyed, is dried up. Giving grace to others is something the body of Christ must conscientiously offer. Grace gives. Legalism demands. Grace yields without conditions. Legalism withholds until conditions are met. Grace embraces. Legalism refrains from embrace. Grace waives its right to seek revenge. Legalism always has cause to settle. Grace rejoices in good and celebrates the slightest good that happens to others. Legalism denigrates the good in others and says, "What's there to celebrate?" Jesus heals a helpless sick man who has been in this condition for 38 years. And the response of the teachers of the law is stunning. Rather than rejoice with the man healed of his 38 years old infirmity, they pick up a fault with him for taking up his mat on the Sabbath day. As bad as this may sound to you, it is sad to see this play out in the body of Christ today and in our world as well. Testimonies of God's goodness in a person's life stirs up envy in the heart of another person. Romans 12 verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." Grace empathizes. It shares in the joy of the moment and in the pains as well. When people are successful, grace, you know, reminds you that you too can be successful. And so you gladly rejoice with them for their success. On the other hand, as shown in the response of the older brother to the prodigal son, legalism is always envious and critical. When others are blessed, it says it's not fair. When others are in pain, it says yes, that serves them right. So many prodigals would have returned home if there were open arms to receive them. Many suicidal attempts or acts today would have been nipped in the bud if there were more listening ears than there are accusing tongues. The church would have less secret sins if there are, you know, or if there were open and sincere processes of correcting love, of correcting in love, and, you know, and other scripture-based discipleship programs. Christians still make mistakes. Let's be real about it. Grace must be shown in dealing with faults among brethren. Galatians 6, 1-2 tells us this. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear with one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do." Think of when a baby takes his first step and falls. What happens? Everybody cheers him up. That's just how gracious God's grace is when we take a little step of faith in any area of our lives. It doesn't compare us with those who are faith giants. God's grace cheers us up until we are able to take bigger steps of faith. God's grace provides equal opportunity for the salvation of all men, regardless their sinful condition, regardless their race, regardless their age, or even their status. It teaches us how to live after we get saved.
grace, you know, God's grace also gives us something to hope for, that glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. As we see in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, he tells us clearly, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the same vein, we give grace by providing opportunity for others to escape eternal damnation. We give grace when we walk through a door and ensure that it remains open for others to walk through as we did. Legalism shuts the door of opportunities they have enjoyed, denying others free passage. Grace is liberal. With helpful information, legalism hoards helpful information. Grace turns the ordinary into extraordinary. Consider how some notable disciples of Jesus Christ were first ordinary men, but Jesus invested in them so much that we still read about their exploits even today. His mentoring of these men changed the trajectory of their lives. In the course of their relationship, some of these men made some unbelievable mistakes. Yet, they were not fired. Jesus allowed them to learn from their mistakes. He forgave them of their, you know, of their gaffes. That was grace. Think of Jesus as the boss and his disciples as his staff. He often gave them another chance. Tom Peters, an American author, was quoted in Larry Beth Jones' book on Jesus CEO as saying that corporations should actually reward people for failure, because failure means risk, and without risk, there can be no success. If employees are afraid to make mistakes, they will be afraid to make much of anything. In that same book, Laurie said, forgiveness does not mean being a doormat or not using discretion in whom you deal with or how. She said, forgiveness means allowing others make their mistakes while you and they move forward. You know, you may disagree to some extent or totally with their both stated, you know, position, but I believe that if contemporary leaders at all levels will show grace in raising people, equipping them, allowing them, you know, to make mistakes and learn from their mistakes, we would have stronger institutions today at all levels. Jesus showed us this example, so we too can follow in his example. And if you desire loyalty among people under your direct, you know, supervision, you may want to follow the example of Jesus in giving grace to people, in giving grace to your people. Do not fire your staff for making honest mistakes. Give them another chance. So where do you fit in this? To give grace is to show God's grace towards others. Are you giving grace? Do you feel like you're not getting your fair share and that an undeserving person is getting all the attention or is being shown too much mercy? Maybe you need to learn about the grace of our God and our Father. God bless you. Until I come your way with another episode in this series, stay blessed. Amen.